Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. Happy Memorial Day weekend. So we all please stand. We're going to open up the service this morning with a very patriotic song. I want to honor those who have fallen in battle for the United States of America and freedoms that we have today. We're going to honor them today. And we're going to start that by singing America the Beautiful as our first opening song this morning. Our brother Steve Schaefer, retired former United States Army soldier. So I ask him to open us up in prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Father God, we come to you as a congregation this morning, and on this holiday for the United States, we pause to memorialize those who gave their lives in the line of battle for the freedom that we now share. Amen. Lord God, we just thank you. As I was at the cemetery yesterday, I saw Revolutionary War veterans' headstone. And I paused for a moment to remember the things that they were fighting for that would be our freedoms. Lord, our freedom to come in this place and worship you without being oppressed. So, Lord, we thank you for each and every one of those men and women who died for that sacrifice. And, Lord, let us not forget the families that sacrificed also. Lord God, we love you more than anything. And I just pray that our country remembers what we are fighting for. Pray this in the name of Jesus, amen.
We found a heart diamond necklace in the parking lot as we were doing construction. So, I believe it is real diamonds. It is real diamonds. So we have this if anybody needs to claim it. Travis, is it yours?
Sure.
Okay, no. But if you know anybody at Lost or here, anybody, we have it. It'll be in my office, all right? Okay. Secondly is that you need to read your bulletin, because in the bulletin we are going to cancel Wednesday night services again, although that's looking pretty good out there. We've decided to tear the very front right by the road up and replace it because it's very, very deteriorated right there. So that is going to be poured on Wednesday, so we're not going to be able to get in there. So please be patient with us. We know we'd like to work it out differently, but Monday being the holiday, we can't get concrete on Monday. So please be patient with us. All right. With that being said, this morning it's going to be our privilege, and Leah, if you'll come on out here, Leah is going to present herself for membership here at Open Door Baptist Church. Leah has grown up and become a graduate on us, and so she's a young lady in her own right, and so she is going to come and present herself for membership this morning. I've met with Leah, and we've talked extensively for weeks. So this is a big step for her. I will tell you this. I wish everyone took as serious about what she's about to do as she is. It wasn't just, yeah, okay, and we talked. I talked a lot, didn't I? Yeah, it's great to have you here, Leah. So, Leah, I got to ask you some questions as you present yourself for membership. Leah, have you read and agree with our church's constitution and bylaws?
Yes.
Do you agree to attend church regularly?
Yes.
Some of these are kind of redundant for her, right? Do you agree to support the church regularly through financial support?
Yes.
Do you agree to find a place of service in this church over a reasonable amount of time? Maybe within the next 3 or 4 minutes, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. Do you agree to submit to the pastoral leadership of the church?
Yes.
Do you agree to allow the members of this church to hold you accountable in love according to God's holy word?
Yes.
Do you agree to love the church and to promote unity and fellowship among the members?
Yes.
Have you read and do you agree with the Baptist faith and message?
Yes.
And will you fill water balloons for VBS? I was asked to add that in there. That's really not a requirement, all right? Okay. Open Door Baptist Church. I'm talking to the members of Open Door Baptist Church. You must agree. So I'm going to ask you to these things, Open Door Baptist Church members. Do you agree to recognize Leah Massamy as a member of Open Door Baptist Church? As members of this church, if you agree, please stand. Open Door Baptist Church members, do you agree to love Leah Massamy as a member of this church and make her feel welcome and accepted, an accepted member of this family? If you agree, say, I will.
I will.
Do you agree, Open Door Baptist Church, to hold Leah Massamy accountable in love to God's holy word? If you agree, say, I will. Open Door Baptist Church, do you agree to be accountable to Leah Massamy as a member of this church body? If you agree, say, I will.
I will.
Amen. Welcome to the family. It is my privilege to welcome you here to this church. It's kind of a formality because she's already been serving like for years, right? So it is great. So,
you were 16,
what?
Since you were 16.
I think I was younger, wasn't I? Like
maybe
14?
15, yeah.
I think I was 14 when I started.
Yeah, it could be. I'm old, man.
Me too.
So, I'm a good pastor.
So Mike, put her to work.
Okay. All right. Please stand and continue worshiping. No sweeter name.
Sometimes the drummer messes up.
this world, it is all messed up. There's so much darkness around us. But we got to keep our eyes focused on that light. Amen, which is Jesus.
Darkness tries to hide and trembles. love and your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you for how great and how mighty you are. God, that through every age you have stood, that we get to see the splendor of our King. God, and we just take this time today to worship you, to praise you, to share just a few minutes of our week to try and bring you glory. So today, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit rains down upon this place. That, Lord, that we can put all the outside stuff away. That, Lord, we can just give a little bit of us today to you. God, I pray that these words aren't my words. God, I pray that your words are spoken today. Lord, if I'm not the man called to be here, but this morning I pray that you silence my lips and you rise up the one who is. God, I just ask that as we come before your throne, you reveal to us what you've called for us to understand today. And it's in your great name we pray. Amen. You all may be seated. Please.
Last week I stood up to give a great report that God put upon so much heart to get some money against me for our bills. We had another incident where we didn't know whether we were going to be able to pay our bills or not. My wife was some money, Christian, got a hold of me and said, God put upon our heart to give you some, gave me a check for $3,500.
Amen. Amen.
He's faithful. Not just in money, but in so many other things. He's faithful. That's what I stand up to praise
him. Amen. Well, church, as I was given the opportunity to preach this Sunday, being a five-Sunday month, I thought, what better opportunity than to take today to do our graduation ceremony for our seniors. So I've had the privilege to work with these seniors for at least the last 6 years. Some of them I've known since they were about four, because I've been serving here long enough that I've actually been able to watch a handful of these students grow up. So today, I want to share with you a handful of the students who've graduated their high school year this year. I'm going to ask them to come up, and I'm going to ask them to all stay here for just a minute, okay? So we're going to start with Camden. Camden, come on down. You're the next contestant. The price is right today, buddy. Come on up here for a minute. So Camden, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, here's your Bible. Camden is headed off to Ohio University for video production. Right? The next contestant is Derek. Come on down. Derek McMasters. Yeah, I know. Nobody knows Derek. Nobody's seen Derek at all. Derek is headed off to the Navy very shortly here. Congratulations. Go ahead and stand behind me, too. The next student is not here, but we got his picture up here. The next student is JT, who is headed to Newcastle School of Trade for Industrial Electrical Mechanical Maintenance. I had to write all that down because I was going to butcher it if I didn't. I had to ask him like three times so I had it right. Yeah, he's just going to fix stuff. As he came to help me put up my pool, I realized quickly he's going to just fix stuff, all right? And last, but certainly not least, is going to be Willie. Come on. Willie! Now, I have had the privilege, as I said, to work with these students for the last 6 years. Thanks, Willie. And what you don't know is that these three behind me and the one who's not here have worked their butts off. Not just in high school, not just putting up with school and learning, right? They've worked their butts off in jobs, in learning their fields, in preparing, in getting graduation and scholarships and prepping for all of this. And then in the midst of that, they've served beside you all. See, what you guys don't always see is that these three young men are usually the guys that are doing the stuff that nobody else wants to do. Like water balloons. Guys, by the way, Beth already called. We have a water balloon project probably like within the next couple days. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, here's the truth. These students have worked hard. But now they've graduated, and so the real work is about to begin. Because they're about to leave us, and though they probably will still be here periodically spending time with us, Willie is going to spend a lot of time with us. I told him he wasn't allowed to leave, okay? But though they're still going to be periodically being seen by us, the truth of the matter is they're going to be in the world. Sorry, guys. The real world is what you're about to face next. High school years, it's kind of the fake world. Rough as it may be, it's the fake world. You're about to walk into the real world. Okay? So you have a new adventure that you're going to partake in, which is why I have a challenge verse for you guys, something that I want you guys to look at. We move two slides over there. We got Willie's picture, I think, next. Oh, yeah, there we go. Look at Will I Am. All right, and then the next one, this is my verse that I wanted to challenge you guys with this year. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The truth is, you're going to be challenged. There's going to be people who will want to challenge you, who will want to test you, who will want to push you. My friends, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. Now, church, I'm going to do something a little bit different than I've done before in the past. I'm going to actually ask you three seniors to come up here and stand down here for a minute. I'd actually like to ask some people to come up and lay hands on these students. Because as they go, they're on a new adventure and a battle which we need to pray for these men. You don't have to touch every one of them, Zeke. My good, okay. Let's all pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you for these students and all the students that are behind them yet to come. God, as these young men leave here, as they go embark on their adult journeys, God, I pray that you give them the courage, the strength and the wisdom to stand up for you, to stand firm in their faith, that their foundation is built entirely on you, our solid rock, and that as they leave, that Lord, though the house may shake, that it never stumbles because of the solid rock of you, Lord. God, I pray that these students always know where their foundation is placed in, and that you guide them and teach them as they embark into their new adventures and their new journeys. God, we ask for your wisdom, your courage, and your love in all things. It's in your most precious name we pray. Amen. If you have children for extended, they can go ahead and go back now, by the way. Blake's already gone. He's long gone. All right. I mean, listen, priorities. Cheese balls, I mean, you can't beat that, right? So, wait a minute. Hey, Travis, you can't go back with him, okay? So, church, real quick, let's give a round of applause for those graduates, because that is an achievement and a challenge. You know, when praying and preparing for today, I kept thinking, all right, I want to present a message that will apply not just for the graduates, but I want to prepare a message that applies to the congregation as well. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you were here on Wednesday a couple weeks ago, you might remember this verse because I taught this verse in a Wednesday night lesson. So now here's your full-fledged sermon version of it. So 2 Peter chapter 1, we're starting with verse 3. It says this: His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Verse 5 says, For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Verse 8 continues, For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, how in the world can I apply that to all of us? I know, you already know, I'm going to explain it to you. I have three practical applications for the Christian walk. The number one, your first point for today is we need to make an effort. Now, some of you may not know this, but I completed a half marathon yesterday. Relatively completed, okay? I did it. I tried, man. They would not let me ride in a car. I completed a half marathon yesterday, and you might notice that I might be like holding on to the pulpit a little bit more than usual today, okay? The truth is, I learned something by doing this half marathon. It takes a lot of effort to be able to complete a half marathon. It takes a lot of preparation and training that I really didn't have. For the people out there who have ran half marathons, I have a newfound respect and admiration for you. I also learned that a true friend will stick by your side, no matter how slow you are.
Thanks, Franco.
That's right. Even if another true friend promises you pizza at the end, you can't always depend on them.
Thanks, Travis.
Make every effort. Look at that verse. 5 and 7. 5 through 7 starts off exactly like that. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. This means, church, that we have to put the work in. You can't just walk out and run a half marathon. You can, but you end up very sore at the end. Church, we literally are called, we're told, that we have to make an effort in order to add to our faith these characteristics. But let's look at these characteristics here. Because you see a buildup if you look at these. So the first one is goodness. And it says we need to add to our faith. And another translation says to supplement your faith. Right? To add to your faith goodness. So our faith is the foundation. It's firm. It's what we know. We as Christians are united in our faith. So we all, from a base point, should have that. But we also need to be adding goodness. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine among others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, okay, that's easy, right? As Christians, we can all recognize we've got to be good. We should be good people. People should recognize us as something different. And I think most of us would recognize that it's not that hard to be good most of the time. Well, the second one, though, right? So we're supposed to add goodness. And it says on top of that, on top of goodness and to goodness, knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, as you can see, I laid these out for you real quick. Goodness and knowledge. Thank you. Knowledge and self-control. Self-control and perseverance. Perseverance and godliness. Godliness, mutual affection. Mutual affection and love. Each one of these characteristics, church, is things that we need to make an effort to grow in. And I'm going to be 100% with you guys. I don't know that much. It may not feel like that sometimes, because I usually have my phone readily available and can search stuff really fast. Ask Larry. He makes fun of me all the time because I'll, as quickly as he's saying it, I'm already looking it up. Okay? But the truth is, I don't know that much. As a Christian, we're called to gain knowledge. Church, we're called to make an effort to gain knowledge. That means that we actually have to go out of our way to try and learn. Just quick poll of hands. How many people actually enjoy learning? Okay, so there's a handful of you out there. Good. I'm glad that some people enjoy it. Not many of us, but some people enjoy learning. But this next one here is self-control. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Goodness is easy. It's easy to be nice to somebody. It's easy to be good to some point. Knowledge, as we learned quickly there, not everybody wants to grow in knowledge. Not everybody wants or likes learning. But Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. But most people here, I think, can acknowledge they don't want to deny themselves. Self-control is a whole nother ballgame. I don't want to say no to the next bag of chips. Okay? I don't want to stop eating. I like eating. It makes me happy. I'm told that with having family members with heart issues, that I probably shouldn't eat as many cheeseburgers or pizzas or whatever. But it's hard to have self-control. But according to the scripture here, we're being told that we should make every effort to add onto my faith the goodness and the knowledge and self-control and perseverance. James 1, 2, and 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because of that, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, endurance, to persevere. We should be working to persevere. We should be working to become more godly. Godliness being the next term there. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So, Christians, if I have not stepped on your toes yet, don't worry, I'm getting there. You notice this builds and builds and builds and becomes tougher the more we go through this. Except then we get to this and it says mutual affection. Well, that's easy, right? We kind of like people. Except, do we really like people? Because I think the truth is, when we're honest with ourselves, listen, I've worked retail for a long time. I don't mean this in a bad way, but I don't always like people. Okay? And I gotta be honest, the way people treat you when you're in retail, I don't think people like people. Okay? Because it's different when you work in that industry. It's tough. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This last one is love. And of course, I could go to the text in 1 Corinthians that talks about love. The text talks through all the characteristics of love, because love is patient, love is kind, and it does not envy, and it does not boast, and it's not rude or proud or self-seeking or not easily angered. But instead, I want to take you to Ephesians 5:2, and it says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Church, here's the thing. Make an effort is what the text says. We're actually called to try and be more like Christ every single day. We're called to all these characteristics. We're called to grow and try to be different. Church, we are not called to sit in those pews. Now, you could be growing in the pew. It's possible. But let me give you some stats. There's a statistic that says 75% of statistics are made up. This is probably one of those statistics. But I'm going to tell you it anyway. Do you know the average person, when sitting in a sermon, approximately takes 10% of what was said in the middle of a sermon? given that 75% of statistics are made up, I'm going to be honest and tell you, there's probably some truth within that statistic. You want to know why I believe that's true? Let me ask you all. Larry gave you a challenge 2 weeks ago. Do you remember what it was? Nope. You were, Tracy, I was banking that you would remember it, but you were so close. It was Galatians chapter 5. Huh? Listen, I can't give you the answer. Come on. Listen, 10%. I'll be honest, I'm with Mike usually when it comes to statistics. I don't usually buy statistics because it's easy to make them up. If I just ask 10 of you, I can say that if only one of you knew it, I can say 10%. Okay? But I've done some study. I've done research. I've been preparing defenses on why we need Sunday school. So I have some strong arguments on why it's important more than just to come to worship service. See, here's the thing. In a Sunday school class, you retain more information. Now, I know why is the question that you're going to ask, because Sunday school's earlier, and I'm not awake as much as I am for worship service. But the thing is, in Sunday school, in a classroom setting, you're more engaged. This is just one piece of this, understand. In a sermon, I can't call Travis and go, "Hey, Travis, what do you think about this text?" Because usually, if I call Travis out in the middle of 140-plus people, give or take, he's not going to want to talk, right? Because it's a little embarrassing to be called out in the middle of a sermon and asked to try and defend or explain Scripture. That's just one piece of that. But in a Sunday school classroom, when you're sitting with, let's say, 10 to 20 of your peers, people who are relatively close in either age or in experience as you, it's a little bit easier to talk through things. Because now you can go, "Well, I didn't understand that." I try not to, but I can interrupt Zeke in the middle of a lesson and go, "Hey, Zeke, can you repeat that point? I don't think I understood what you said." Most people are afraid to stand up and go, "Hey, Rich, I need you to repeat that point again. I didn't quite get that." But surely we don't learn more in Sunday school, right? Surely in a smaller setting, there's not more time to apply or to talk through something. How about the general truth of Sunday school versus a service? You're sitting with people, you're talking with people, and you have the ability to actually apply with other people who are working through it the same way. Because we can talk. Let me give a great example. On Wednesday night, I taught the same lesson, or a similar lesson to this. I expanded a little bit, and I asked for feedback. But during the Wednesday night lesson that I taught this, I asked Zeke to stand up and run from one point to another. How many people remember that, real quick, for the couple people that were there? Okay. How many people enjoyed watching Zeke run around like he was Jack Sparrow? Captain Jack Sparrow in the middle of a Wednesday night class. That was awesome. Zeke, if I asked you to do that, actually, Zeke probably would do that right now, but I know you would. Thanks, buddy. Most people are not willing to be embarrassed a little bit more in the middle of a Sunday sermon as they would be willing to laugh and have fun on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning Sunday school class. So you thought I was only going to hit on Sunday school. No, you're wrong. Hey, Heather. Wrong one. Sorry. Hey, Heather. How many openings do you have on VBS? You don't want to talk about it, do you? She has gaps in Vacation Bible School, church. We should be making an effort to grow. We should be making an effort to add these characteristics. We should be making an effort to do anything to better the kingdom, to grow the kingdom. We should be making an effort to grow stronger. Church, there are three adult Sunday school classes currently at our church right now. Lorena teaches the women back in the conference room. Zeke teaches downstairs in the fellowship hall. And Travis, John, or whoever flips the coin, I'm just kidding. Travis, for the most part, teaches downstairs in the youth room. Three Sunday school classrooms that are for adults in this church. There are six classrooms, preschool, babies, first and second, third and fourth, fifth, sixth, and I'm not counting youth, kindergarten, for Vacation Bible School. I don't count youth because, well, that's my class. I'm not going to give you my class right now. Anyway, there are six classrooms that are being taught for Vacation Bible School. Six areas of service for 1 week. That's not including all the other ministries that happen on that same time frame. You don't think you know enough? I get it. You don't think you can do it? I get it. But what you can do, what you can learn, and what you can attempt is you can make an effort to grow. If there's not a class for you in this church, maybe you're not making an effort. I mean, Travis's class is literally called Dudes and Donuts. How can you not find room in a class in this church? Come on. There is three totally different styles of leadership. There are multitudes of different areas to serve within VBS. But you're sitting in a pew. Maybe you're not making the effort. All right. I'm not here just to step on your toes. Let's keep dissecting this text for a minute here. Three practical applications from the Christian walk. Number one is make an effort, which I think I've effectively told you guys that I'm going to step on your toes with. Number two is be fruitful. Verse 8, Peter tells us that we need to strive to be productive and effective. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you possess these qualities, back up to that text, you got to actually pay attention a little bit sometimes. It says, we need these characteristics. We need to have love and mutual affection and godliness. We need perseverance and self-control. We need knowledge and goodness. And if we possess these things, then we won't be ineffective. If we possess these things in increasing measure, we won't be ineffective or unproductive. Church, we need to be fruitful. I think it's clear that this text is encouraging us that we need to be fruitful. If you've been listening to Pastor Larry, you're probably aware he's going to be working through the fruit of the Spirit. And if you haven't been listening to Pastor Larry, that was part of the 90% you didn't get, and that's okay. You're going to hear it over the next couple weeks, or parts of it. His next series is going to be on the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to steal his entire sermon and try and add that on top of my sermon, but Galatians chapter 5 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These fruit are demonstrations of our faith. As Christians, we should demonstrate these characteristics. Are you going to be perfect at every one of them? No. I have a hard time with patience. We've talked about it multiple times. I struggle with patience. Honestly, are you going to be perfect at the previous characteristics that we're learning to go? No. But we need to make an effort, Christians. And that's the key here. Being fruitful doesn't only come from these characteristics, though. See, being fruitful is also us being effective at witnessing as well. See, the love Christ has for us should be something that we should be screaming from the tops of buildings. Right? We should be excited. We should be happy, Christians. We shouldn't be so depressed. And yet, my friends, this really isn't happening. Why do you think that is? Church, I think we get in our own way. Let me tell you the stories that are out there of churches that fight amongst themselves, where they can't agree on one thing or another. Me and John disagree on the flavor, the color of the carpet. I keep saying, let's turn it orange. He says, that's terrible. Let's stick with blue. And we fight. And we split and we go our own ways. And I open open door orange and he opens open door blue. And then he gets 75 of the members and I get 75 of the members. And then what happens is Zeke comes in and him and I start in open door orange and we decide that we disagree on whatever it may be. He doesn't like my style. He doesn't like my style, says I should wear nicer suits, a little more color, some red suits. So Zeke then opens up open door orange red. And I now have open door orange blue. And the sad truth is, church, you think I'm joking. But that's how it happens. And I'm just talking about the silly matters. Right? But what about the real matters that are out there that people are fighting over? What about people who just can't get along? What was that about? What we're supposed to grow in brotherly love? Brotherly affection? Mutual affection and love? Church, I think they're missing something. Church, I think that a lot of times as Christians, we get in our own ways because of what we want and what we think, what we want to prioritize. And I think Mike actually said it best in a Sunday school a couple weeks ago where he said, I don't really care what you think. What does the Bible say? You know, Mike, I don't think you were being harsh, and I don't mean to call on you on that. But the truth is, it doesn't really matter what Zeke thinks or what John thinks. What matters is what the Bible says, right? So Christians, so church, what are we doing? What are we doing to try and spread the word? What are we doing to try and grow and be fruitful? Church. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Church, we're supposed to have an answer for why we believe what we believe. And yet, we would rather fight over or debate over topics that don't matter. Church, there is a crazy world out there. There is, to the point that we can't understand or even see everything going on, a massive spiritual warfare that's happening out there. I think that we're stuck in a world that we can't understand all of what's coming on and going on in the world right now. And I think that's because we're so blinded by ourselves that we forget to show Christ's love to someone else. Church, Christians are called to be effective and fruitful. So how do we do that? Discipleship. Discipleship is actually a hot button topic for me and Brett and Travis. We've been really in on this topic lately. So I wanted to share with you guys a prime example of what discipleship is. Because see, discipleship, because it's our Christianese term, is, well, I don't actually have time to really preach on discipleship, so let me just give you the quickest explanation. Discipleship is training. So let me give you this quick example here. Discipleship. I'm well aware. Discipleship is training. You see how the older, more advanced Christian is showing the younger Christian how to do it. It popped up in my timeline. I had to share it. It was awesome. Anyway, discipleship is doing life together. It's allowing other believers to grow with you and to help encourage other believers to grow. It's training. Church, in order to be fruitful, we as a church have to understand discipleship. My last point for you today, three practical applications for the Christian walk. Number one, make an effort. Number two, be fruitful. And number three, you need to be confident in your faith. So the verses we started with today, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These verses tell us that make an effort to confirm your calling and election. Well, how do you know that you're saved? You got to know what salvation is, right? This is the foundation of which we at the church stand, is the believers in Christ understanding of what salvation is. So let me throw a bunch of verses at you and explain through them. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We believe that Jesus Christ was the beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Fairly simple, right? We all sin. No matter how good you are, no matter how nice you are, no matter how great you might seem, because I'm pretty awesome, but we have all sinned. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, this is the consequence, the price of our sin, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So because we died, we deserve death. That's what the consequence. Because we've sinned. I said died. Because we sinned, we deserve death. Because of our sin, we deserve to spend an eternity in hell. Because we separated ourselves from God. Because we did not deserve that. But Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, even though we were sinners, Christ came and died for us. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loved you so much that even when you were a sinner, even when you failed, even when you fell short, even when you separated yourself from God, he still loved you. He still died for you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Romans 10:9-10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Salvation comes from believing. Salvation comes from God. We get it because we believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and confessed with our mouth. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God because we are saved. We are children of God. We are Christians. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Church, and I've shared this with you before, but when I break this down, because I have young children, and this is what I do, I explain it to my young children. I break it down very simply and very easy because I really am more like a 6 or 7 or 8 or 10-year-old, and I need it really broken down a little simpler for me. So when I break it down and explain it, first thing I tell them is we need to know that God is all-powerful. We need to understand that we failed because we're bad. But that Christ gave his life for us. How did he do that? He died on a cross. If you listen to Lana when she was in preschool, she'd tell you he died on the cross. He was buried behind the tomb where they heard his nose in the door. And then he came. After 3 days, he rose again. He got chocolate milk. Priorities of chocolate milk in the preschool department. And thankfully, there are no more holy cows in there either. I explain it this way when I'm breaking it down for my children. But the truth is, church, we should be able to break it down for anybody. It shouldn't have to be so complicated that we take 12 verses and explain it to them. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? listen, through this text that we've read today, we see that there's an understanding of why Christ died for us. We see in the very beginning, actually in the first couple verses, when you look at 2 Peter, his divine power given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us a very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Church, we have a gift. We have a call. This precious gift, we should be truly cherishing it like we do a precious gift from a loved one. We shouldn't take this gift for granted. So church, Christians, and to my seniors, we live in a fallen world. We live in a corrupt world, filled with evil desires. We need to make an effort. We need to be fruitful. And we need to be confident in our faith. So, church, what are you doing? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. God, as we take a moment here to close out our worship service, as we take this time to reflect, I pray, Lord, that we can look inward, realize that we're not perfect, realize that we have things we need to work out. Maybe it's our physical body. Maybe it's our spiritual body. Maybe we need to work with you, God, to figure out what's going on. Maybe we realize today that we're not as effective, or we're not making the effort that you're calling us to make. So I pray that, God, today we can take this time as we reflect. While we reflect in our pew or at the altar, I pray that we can just understand that you have a call for us, that you love us, that you've given us a precious gift. And Lord, that we could just see what your path for us is. And Lord, I just pray that we run to you with everything we say and everything we do. God, it's in your great name we pray. Amen.
We all please stand. Thank you.
Defense. You're not alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Richie, great word this morning. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And also just a reminder that not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we will have a members meeting. And we will be presenting Rich and Zeke for ordination. So it's important that you be here for that. And it's a very exciting time in our church. And we want you to be a part of that. Go. Not on your own defense. Depart from this place. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Lord, I need you.